The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by Eno, the Capital One assistant. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain podcast on ESPN Radio.
Now Kyrie Irving's in charge. I don't know if it's a travesty or if it's perfect. But in a world where now everything is driven by social media, the embodiment of Twitter, Kyrie Irving is in charge of whether or not the NBA returns. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776 on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Coming up on today's show, what do we cancel next? Apparently, it is the alma mater of the University of Texas. Apparently it is the Eyes of Texas. We'll get into that controversy and what it symbolizes, because it is not a fight over the alma mater of the University of Texas. It is not a debate nor an argument about that particular song. It is a canary in the coal mine. It is the next step on the progression of canceling our history. Also coming up on today's show, several players in the NFL with the Dallas Cowboys and the Houston Texans have tested positive for coronavirus, including star running back Ezekiel Elliott. What does that mean for not just the return of the NFL, but professional sports, sports in general, for the remainder of 2020? Plus, we'll keep you up to date on the negotiations between Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball Players Association. There is some anticipation that by the end of the show today, we'll have some idea of whether or not there will be a season and how long it will be in 2020. But we start with the NBA. And we start with the fact that now Kyrie Irving is in charge. When we left you on Friday, there were reports that several players across the NBA had reservations about coming back to play at the Disney World of Orlando bubble environment to finish off the 2020 season. Concerns from coronavirus protocols, risks associated with taking the court, our national protests, and the best way to continue to fight for progress in the players' minds, all stood in the way of some players returning. As it turns out, on a conference call with many NBA players, Kyrie Irving has taken a lead, and he is a voice that suggests now is not the time to return to basketball. Stephen A. Smith, I thought, brought up a very interesting question when it comes to when players will return this year. When, by the way, protests have arrived at a point of accomplishment. Stephen A. Smith asked a very important question this morning on Get Up. Listen to this.
Where people went their separate ways was that after the kneeling took place, we said, now what? What do you want and how are we going to go about getting it? And there didn't appear to be a plan. In the end, that's what this comes down to. The protests are definitely legitimate and profound. We get all of that. We can't ignore it. Pay attention to it. But what's the end game? We have to answer those questions. And without answers to those questions, we damn sure shouldn't be talking about not going back to work because of racial oppression. If that's the case, black folks would have been unemployed for centuries now because we've been dealing with racial oppression. That is not a reason not to go back to work.
Stephen A. Smith coming out against Kyrie Irving and Dwight Howard, two of the leading voices in the NBA not returning to play. But in that cut, what you might have heard was a very important question, a question that I asked as far back as 2016 when it came to Colin Kaepernick's protests, and that is, what is the end game? That's an interesting question to ask. In fact, it's really the only question to ask, because before you answer whether or not players should return to play in 2020, you should ask, until what is accomplished? It was a very simple question that could have been asked also of Kaepernick. Under what conditions, with what set of accomplishments, would you again stand for the national anthem? The point of the question is not only to say, hey, what will make you happy, but it identifies a goal with something to work towards. And without that, there really is no end game, in Stephen A. Smith's words, for when players might return to play. Would it be some specific policy change when it comes to policing in this country? Would it be if X, Y, and Z were accomplished, then it would be time for Kyrie Irving and Dwight Howard and other players to come back? Would it be the dismantling of systemic racism? Well, that is a big conversation. What does that mean? What does that encompass? When is that accomplishable? Is that something that we, you know, however that's chosen to be defined, is that something we can all agree on is a goal that should be fought for and everything else put on hold until it is accomplished? Is it until racism is extinguished? What I would tell you is all of these goals are perhaps, depending on how we define each and every one of them, by the way, very, very laudable. Are they accomplishable? Are they accomplishable in a, I don't know, not even reasonable amount of time? I think Stephen A. is one that pointed out, in decades worth of time? So, without the answer to that question of what is the end game, A, you don't know what you're working towards, and B, you have no idea when you would return to work. Under what conditions, at what time, would NBA players return to work? And what are we exactly trying to accomplish so that we can see identifiable goals in progress? What is the end game? Is not just an interesting question, it's a vital question for the progress of any movement. I asked that back in 2016 when it came to Colin Kaepernick. Of course, yeah, something like that. I don't know. I guess that's an extremely controversial thing to ask and you don't get it. And, you know, all the trite phrases are trotted out one at a time over and over again. You're not listening. You don't get it. You're a racist. Whatever it may be. It's all becoming nonsense. I don't care. I don't care anymore what anybody says, what names I get called. It doesn't matter until you can answer that very, you know what? If you're not asking that question, how about this? If you're not asking that question, you're not an ally. If you're not asking that question, you're part of the problem. If you're not asking that question, what is the end game? I am cynical that you have real interest in progress. If you're not asking that question, I don't know why you wouldn't return to work. Without answering that question, what is the end game? Well, then what is all of this? What are we doing? I can tell you this, without the answer to that question, we seem to be moving in ever scattered and extreme directions. Anything and everything falls under the umbrella. I'm just kidding. Here's a couple just today, okay? One of these I'm about to talk about here coming up in a minute on the Will Cain Show. Just in the past, how about this, 48 hours, 72 hours. What is the end game apparently includes whether or not the Eyes of Texas, the University of Texas alma mater, is something that should be canceled. Whether or not the Texas Rangers mascot now falls in, not mascot, but, you know, nickname and all that falls under the umbrella of things that need to be reconsidered and canceled in the same way, and I saw this one on today as well, a revisitation of the name of the Washington Redskins. So how many different directions, each and every one of those, to be discussed importantly on an individual level, but how many different of those issues are going to have to be quote-unquote solved before, for example, Kyrie Irving and Dwight Howard return to play? What is the end game? It is not just important, it is vital to answer that question. And until then, what you end up with is something like this, according to ESPN NBA insider Bobby Marks. Players have the right to do as they choose, however the economics of not playing are devastating. $1.2 billion in lost player salary. That's 35% of players' total pay. Gone. Number two, the NBA would then have total leverage to tear apart their CBA and negotiate a new one. It would trigger the force majeure clause in the current CBA, and owners could rip it up and totally negotiate a new CBA. And number three, $2 billion in lost revenue to the entire league. Now, what would that do for many players' livelihoods going forward? Yes, an important moment in time. Yes, a lot of progress to be made. Yes, a lot of listening to be done. But without a question to what is the end game? What is this, for example? All of these numbers, all of these things we're canceling. What is the purpose of it all? Answer that question, and you might become part of the solution. And that's my opening take brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Let's just take one of those. Can we just take one of those for a moment? Let's take the alma mater at the University of Texas. Let's take the song, The Eyes of Texas. That is one that the football players of the University of Texas have said that needs to be retired. It needs to be canceled. Let's just take that for a moment. Let's explore it. Let's look at its history. Let's find out if it's true. Is it something that should be canceled in 2020? Would that mark progress? And let's ask ourselves this. When we think about the Eyes of Texas, it doesn't matter if you're a University of Texas fan. It doesn't matter if you are from the state of Texas. We'll ask ourselves this at the end of this question. If this should be canceled, what shouldn't? That's coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your goldfish to sing Bizet's Carmen? There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
You just get it here first, guys. I'm telling you. Listen to the Will Cain Show, and you're ahead of the curve. I say, everybody freaks out about, says I'm being contrarian, says I'm being a homer, says I'm being a hot taker. Some time passes, and because the world moves like lemmings and only looks through rearview mirrors, not windshields, they catch up to me.
Why should the Eyes of Texas be canceled? That's not just a question for the Texas Longhorns or the state of Texas. It's a question for everybody in this nation. Why should this statue, that song, those traditions be canceled? Those questions to be answered on a case-by-case basis. And I think what you'll find is the evidence is very concerning. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Late last week, the University of Texas Longhorns football team, signed by several players, made a list of demands before they returned to practice in the 2020 football season. Those demands including the renaming of several buildings named after segregationist and racist politicians in that state's past, the creation of a wing of the Texas Football Hall of Fame reserved exclusively for black athletes, and the retirement of the Eyes of Texas, the alma mater of that university. Now, full disclosure, I am an alumni of the University of Texas, and that song is one I've taken great pride in numerous times throughout my life. I would say the Eyes of Texas is probably among the five most recognizable, longest-serving traditions in college football. You have Hail to the Victors, Rocky Top. You'd have several others who have become the most synonymous songs in college football. So if the Eyes of Texas are going to be canceled, it would be very important to hear the case as to why that should be. Now, here's what I think interesting, because I think you need to hear this. This will not just be a lesson in whether or not the Eyes of Texas should be canceled, but anything at any university, any tradition, because the evidence is going to come down to adjacent to, proximity, near, no direct connection to anything that you'll say, oh, that song, it's racist. The Eyes of Texas reportedly, in quotations, has racist undertones based upon two pieces of evidence. Number one, Robert E. Lee in his time as the president of Washington and Lee University in the late 1800s reportedly said to the students of that university, admonishing them or exhorting them to accomplish great things in life, "The eyes of the South are upon you." In that student body was a man whose last name was Prather. He heard that saying and reportedly liked that. "The eyes of the South are upon you. Go do great things." He later became the president of the University of Texas in the late 1800s. His administration and staff and teachers, and ultimately students, sort of taking up something he liked and also poking fun at him, altered that phrase to make it, "The eyes of Texas are upon you." Meaning, go do great things for this state. There's great expectations. The eyes of Texas are upon you. Now that is evidence number one, that it has that connection to Robert E. Lee. Because Robert E. Lee said the eyes of the South are upon you. One of his students heard that, liked it, and later, when he was a leader, his co-workers changed that to "the eyes of Texas" means it has a connection to a racist past because it was uttered by Robert E. Lee. The phrase itself, independent of anything racist, but uttered by Robert E. Lee. To that, I would say this. Robert E. Lee also, most likely, said good morning to his children every day when he woke up. Does that mean that everybody from that point forward who says not just good morning, but good evening to their family is participating in a racist tradition? Robert E. Lee undoubtedly told his wife he loved her. Does everyone now who tells not just their wife, but any family member, because we're talking about something that's not just adopted, but adopted and changed, "Hey, I have good, strong feelings about you," also has a racist connection? The fact that something is adjacent to, close to, a time period where a person who, yes, was involved in an ugly part of our history was said, does that make that phrase and that saying, quote unquote, have racial undertones? If that's the case, I would suggest to you anything, not just in this country, do not think that racism or a racist past is a uniquely American story, but anything dating back to essentially, oh, I don't know, ever, because you can't stop it with post-Civil War era. You got to go before that, right? Because, of course, racism existed before the Civil War and existed not just in the United States. So anything in that period now must be erased. And by the way, the cases for many of these things will be much stronger than someone simply said something at one time and someone else heard it and liked it. The second piece of evidence why the Eyes of Texas should be canceled is that after it was written in 1903, the first time it was ever sang was at a minstrel show. You probably know what a minstrel show is. If not, they were very ugly events that took place in our country's history where white people dressed up in blackface and put on shows. Now, that is not something anybody endorses nor excuses. But the song itself had nothing to do with racism or what went on at this show. It was debuted at a show that was unexcusable. Does that make the song cancelable? Because that's where it was first heard. Again, anything from that time period that was performed or adjacent to or in proximity of something else that was racist is now up for cancellation. And I would tell you, if that's the case, this is just the beginning, meaning the Eyes of Texas' connection to anything that's racist is, you could argue, much more tenuous than any. Look, you think schools across the SEC don't have something in their past that is going to be connected to racism? Is every tradition that was adjacent to something racist up for cancellation? And not just that. I mean, I wouldn't get too boastful or gloatful, University of Oklahoma Sooners. I mean, what were Sooners but for pioneers who were claiming land through the Indian Appropriation Act? The Sooner Schooner represent literally pioneers going to take land that used to belong to American Indians. And look, don't stop there. It will not just be in the South. It will be everywhere. Every tradition that is adjacent to, next to, or loosely connected to, not directly or not overtly or not specifically intended to be racist, but next to, exist in the same time period as, will and should be canceled. What more, I have been told this for years. I have been told that symbols can be co-opted by bad actors races. For example, the OK symbol, right? Benign, started as a joke, but ultimately white supremacists did co-opt it and use it. Most people don't realize this, but do use it, and that therefore defines it for everybody going forward. So therefore, the OK symbol is a racist symbol because of that fact. Let me ask you this. Does that same intention not work the other way around? Even if I grant it, and I don't, that there was some racist connection for the eyes of Texas, do you think anybody for 50 years has had a racist thought in their mind as they sang that song? Do you think anybody has any ugly thoughts in their mind about anybody but for pride in the state of Texas when they sing that song? So if a symbol can be co-opted to become malignant, can it not be co-opted to become not just benign, but revered? That's what I was told. It seems to have no head, no direction, no reason, no purpose. And that is my point on answering the question that Stephen A. asked, is what is the end game? Because without the end game, I see only things whose cases are at best weak for claims as evidence of systemic racism or a racist past being asked to erase from our history. And not only do I think that will be something that does not lead us towards progress, I think it will drag us back. Because when you tell good people who have no malintentions in their lives and who also are willing to sign up and here for the fight to improve policing or police brutality, when you tell them they're actually participating in a very ugly racist thing, when they know in their hearts they're not, and the evidence shows them the history is not, you will not only lose them, you will force the pendulum to swing back the other way. It will not only not be progressive, it will be destructive. I've got more on this, and I want to hear from you. 888-729-3776. All in the coming hours of the Will Cain Show. Plus, I'm going to talk to ESPN front office insider Lewis Riddick coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. William in Alabama.
I think you're pompous and arrogant, but I don't think that means all ESPN employees or all white people are pompous and arrogant. I just feel that way personally about you.
Oh, I appreciate that, William.
More from Will Cain coming up.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Well, I've told you what I think. Asking the question of what is the end game? And what is the point? What is the evidence for all of the cancellations? Now it's time for me to hear from you. 888-729-3776 on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. Let me hear from some of you right now. I will go to Brad in Oklahoma. What's up, Brad?
Hey, Will. How are you?
I'm good.
I want to say first, that song has actually inspired quite a bit of hate, at least in the last 42 years for me, it has. That song makes me want to vomit every time I hear it. I've heard it 41 times in the last 42 years. But then again, I'm from Oklahoma. And I would say that I thought the original words were, I've been working on the railroad.
They were. Hold on, Brad. Hold on. Are you being funny about being an Oklahoma fan and that's why it inspires hate? Or do you really think that song should be canceled? I just want to make sure I'm reading sarcasm or your point.
No. Yeah. I'm an attorney, too. This is pure sarcasm.
Okay,
gotcha. I am from Norman. I do hate that song.
But I
really relish when I hear when I see those players raise those horns and do it at the end zone after they've lost the game, it's wonderful.
The truth is, it's a wonderful – here's the thing, and you can stay on the line, Brad. I understand the players. I have heard before, and I want to get them on the show this week, some guys like Samuel Achu have said for years that they have had a problem with this song. It's news to me and a lot of Texas fans because it is a moment of pride. And as you point out, even as a Sooner fan, you can see, that's a cool moment. Everybody gathers around the corner of the student section and sings the Eyes of Texas with hook 'em horns in the air. And it's a moment of unification, right? And I can venture to say I don't think I'm overstating. 100% of people who sing that song are singing it as a symbol of pride, not just in that university, but in that state. It has nothing in anyone current's mind, even tangentially, adjacent to racism. And I don't think going back either. So I think I understand. And Brad, I'm going to go back to you, but I texted like, and I called a lot of friends who are University of Texas guys this weekend, and one of them supported one. And his argument was, it's not for him to decide what's offensive. It is if the players feel that way, then that is what defines it. And I would just say to him, that is not what defines it. I mean, I can be sympathetic, but feelings have to be based and grounded in reality as well. Otherwise, we are a ship without a mast. We are going anywhere at any moment for any feelings that want to take us there. You have to make a case. Why is something racist? Why should it? You know, Brad, you might be married, right? My marriage is good. My marriage is good. But I don't, my wife says that hurts my feelings. We have to talk about why. Like, it's not like, oh, well, that hurts your feelings. I must have done something wrong. Like, we have to talk about what the communication. And there has to be some sense of grounding in objective reality, Brad.
Well, and I think it really, in all seriousness, going back to your original point, it goes back to the end game. Because I've been an OU fan all my life. I had no idea that that song had any racial overtones. When they play it in Dallas in October, we sing "I've Been Working on the Railroad." We don't see it as a racist song. And I think what it really comes down to is the end game. And is getting rid of the Eyes of Texas going to bring us closer to the end game?
No,
I mean, I just don't see it. And
well, I don't know. That depends on what the end game is. That depends on what the end game is. But does it get us closer to a place of equality and progress in this country? To that, I'm very comfortable saying no.
That's my point. And I will leave you with this, Will. Boomer Sooner, buddy.
Hey, I'm serious. Okay, by the way, I'm taking back. Thanks for the call, Brad. I made the argument. If you think the Eyes of Texas needs to go, so does the mascot Sooner. So does the Sooner Schooner. But that's not an attack at OU. You could literally do this with almost any university. Northern universities. I mean, you just got to go back to 1820. You're going to have something that is adjacent to something else that was ugly, and that is the evidence for the Eyes of Texas. Jason in Kentucky, what's up, Jason?
Hey, Will, how are you?
I'm good. What's up, man?
Well, I just, I think, and your last caller kind of hit on this, and you did specifically with the point about your wife, if you've hurt her feelings. I think the one thing that we have to look at is intent versus how it is observed by others.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've got going on in the world right now, I think, is proving that out to all of us. It doesn't matter what I think something should mean. It's how it is observed by those around us. Because the one thing you can't govern is the malice that's in another person.
Right.
You know, and there could be zero intent to do wrong on anything.
Right. Yeah, I hear you, Jason. I appreciate the call. Yeah, we're looking at... I mean, look, and to be fair, that's the same argument made for Kaepernick. His intent isn't the way you're taking it, and I hear you. Now you need to understand as well, this intent is not that way. But Willie in New York disagrees. What's up, Willie?
Hey, Will, what's going on? Thank you for having me on. Listen, the point that I want to make in terms of what you said is almost to the that you're saying there's no end game. It's almost to say that, hey, if we do bring up this subject, it's going to ruffle the feather of others, and it won't bring out the equality because a few is going to be even mad that we're bringing up this point. But at the same time, it's almost like, hey, if we bring up this point, are you not going to fight for equality? This is something that's pretty much offending a big chunk of the people in Texas as well. You're saying it's 100%,
but that's 100%
true, from the people that you talk to.
Okay, hold on, Willie. A couple of things. First of all, the point of bringing up the end game is, I don't know what sport is your favorite sport, Willie. You're in New York. I'm going to make an assumption you like baseball. It's very popular in New York. Okay. It would be like saying, when is the game over? Is it to a certain number of runs? Is it a certain amount of time? Is it a certain number of innings? What's the point of the game? Is it to score more than the other team? The point is, without an end game, you don't know what the fight is for. But if you say to me now, Willie, which you just did, of course we do. It's for equality. It's to extinguish racism. My point to you in return is, yes, laudable, certainly of the heart and the individual as a movement. Well, if you don't define that, then it encompasses everything to the point that it encompasses the Eyes of Texas. Something that is, I just laid out the case of how weak it is. The point is, when it's broad at a movement level, it can sweep up anything and everything. And I would suggest look around right now, Willie. It really is. And is that all progress? Is that all just? Is everything that's up for being canceled in our history something that should be in your mind, Willie, right now?
I think, well, it's the point that people are not being conscious of what's affecting others. Before, it wasn't the case. Before, it's just, let's do this because us, the majority, feel like it's okay. It don't matter what others think. But now at this point, we have a voice that we could talk to and realize, hey, when you guys are singing this or acting on this or showing these signs, it's affecting us. While you may be happy with the songs and the voices and the words, it's affecting and hurting others.
But Willie, just like you would with your wife, if she told you that hurt her feelings, you would want to know why. And if she came back with an answer that was not something that you agreed objectively that you did wrong, wouldn't mean you change your behavior, right? You can't just because someone says, hey, I don't like how that sounds, then you go, well, let's go back in history. Why does it sound right or wrong? Let's analyze this together. The fact that a feeling exists doesn't validate that is what the intention was or is or ever has been. All right, I'll keep this conversation going. I'm pushing my break. And I got Lewis Riddick coming up next. So let me take a quick break and talk to Lewis Riddick next on The Will Cain Show.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
I only had a few minutes with Lewis Riddick here, so I want to get right to it. Lewis Riddick, ESPN's NFL front office insiders on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. What's up, Lewis?
Well, what's going on, man?
I got a couple different things I'd love to hit with you. We'll see how much time we have for all of it. So first of all, let's talk about Ezekiel Elliott and the several Dallas Cowboys reportedly, several Houston Texans who've tested positive for coronavirus. I don't know if you know anything about this, but it's cropping up on my radar right now. So I think Zeke just tweeted out HIPAA ? He's talking about privacy issues when it comes to health laws or health issues in this country when it comes to your employer and with hospitals and so forth. We were just talking about this, Lewis. I don't know if you have any insight on this. It stands to reason you wouldn't have your health information put out there for normal people, but football players' injury and health is often put on Front Street, right? It's part of the business. And then on top of that, if you have coronavirus, then you need to be quarantined, so that sort of makes it public. Do you know anything about this? Like, what kind of expectation of privacy does Zeke have here?
No, I really don't know. And I know I saw that tweet. I think what he... Well, he tried to clear that up also where, he said that somebody had told and alerted or rather was calling his agent and asking him to confirm that he had tested positive, and they're trying to figure out exactly where that did come from. I don't know how it will delineate the difference between, injury information being linked when it has something to directly do with football and then whether it's something that is associated with a hospital or your private health. I don't know if there is a difference that way. I don't know what kind of protection that players will have in that regard, and specifically as it relates to the coronavirus. I guess that's something that we all need to find out a little bit more about, because obviously that's some sensitive information that can materially affect the football team, while at the same time it's something that is private to the player. So that is a very interesting topic that I know I need to do more due diligence on.
No, I don't blame you for not knowing, because it's sort of it requires some research, and it's kind of new all of a sudden. And football players in a unique position where their health status is constantly shared with the public. So I'm just fascinated by that.
Sure.
But more importantly, or I don't know about more importantly, maybe more broadly, Zeke and several other Cowboys and then Texans players. I mean, this tells us this thing is not behind us, and we're going to soon have to figure out how we're going to deal with all this contact tracing and what happens in the dominoes of when a team gets shut down or a league very soon, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, and you're right. It's not behind us because it's not behind us from a society perspective. As a matter of fact, even though people may be ignoring it, and you keep seeing all the reports of this state is opening and that state's opening and this county's opening and that county's opening, the fact of the matter is, last time I checked, we don't have a vaccine. And we're no further along as far as having a handle on this from a society perspective as we were 3 months ago. So, I mean, how could we expect the NFL or, the individual teams to have a better handle on it when it's starting to crop up and, states like Arizona and Texas are seeing some of their highest numbers that they've seen since this entire fiasco started. So, I mean, the NFL and the teams are in a position where they can't win. There's no way they're going to, and there really was no way where they were ever going to be able to totally corral this thing and not have some players get sick. Because
right.
until we have a vaccine, there's no way of stopping. They were just willing to deal with the risk, hoping that they could minimize it and that people would do what they need to do between now and the start of the season to kind of like slow down the spread as much as possible. But I think as we've seen, just turn on your TV, people are tired of staying in. People aren't wearing masks. People aren't doing the things necessary on a broad scale to keep this virus contained, and it's going to bite everybody.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's inevitable that people are going to get sick. And we've known that from the beginning. So the real question will be, as these players start to come back with positive tests, what is the protocol for the rest of the team? How much can you isolate somebody? How much does it spread throughout the team? When is the team's season, essentially, or at least schedule, put in jeopardy? Lewis Riddick here on the Will Cain Show. I have like 2 minutes left, and I'm going to ask you a big question, okay?
Sure.
And so I thought Stephen A. asked a really good question. When he's talking about Kyrie and a lot of these guys saying they don't want to come back to the NBA. I think when it comes to the issues in this country and the protests, I actually think this is the most important question to ask, Lewis, and that is, what is the end game? Meaning, what is the identifiable goal that represents progress? Stephen A. asked that in terms of, okay, Kyrie, when do you come back? If you don't want to play because you got bigger issues going on, what is the end game? I think we have to answer that as a society anyway, because we're going to debate every little thing, and it's going to go in a million different directions unless we can. So in your mind, sure. Lewis, what's the end game?
I don't really think you can really pinpoint a definitive end game because, look, you can't unravel and correct something that has been, hundreds of years in the making. Just because now there's a lot of attention being drawn to it doesn't mean all of a sudden that you're going to culturally change people's thoughts and habits and priorities and their actions and their prejudiced feelings. And you're not going to be able to, from a legislative standpoint, get all the things enacted that you would need in order to level the playing field and then see if whether or not it's going to stick. So, I mean, if you're waiting to see there really be positive traction, you may not be playing basketball for years. So I think he's also alluded to the fact that it behooves everyone to get back to playing sports so your platform remains in the public eye and continue to do the work that you need to do from a social justice standpoint. Because I think you can do both at the same time.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to The Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.